Three, two, one. It's Shazam, the podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete. I'm Kayla. Yep. I'm really excited to share this interview with you, so let's just get right to it. You should check out our guest, Sonia Benito, on her Instagram, which is at Sonia Benito. There should be a link in the description. She's amazing. She's going to talk a lot about how she combines her dance and movement training with magic, not as two separate things that make it cheesy, but combining it to create some amazing stuff. She's done such great work for commercials with Samsung and Remy makeup brand, but also just her Instagram videos are something that we should all strive to be like if we're creating online content. So check her out. This is an awesome, awesome interview. Please enjoy. Sonia.
Hello.
Thank you very much for being on the podcast. I'm so excited.
Thank you to you first.
Of course, yeah. So I'm going to ask you the most annoying question is, how did you get started in magic? What's that whole process for you look like?
Okay. This might sound like a movie because it's actually like a proper movie. Basically, I'm from a very small city in Spain, which is called Palencia with a P, and nothing, it was not magic at all. I started when I was 13 years old mainly, and in the city next to mine, it was a big market where it was a little magic stand. So I was just really curious and I bought a few tricks, and this is because at the same time it was the parties of that little city and it was a magic convention where there was like shows and everything. So I saw a show of a guy, a magician, well-known magician in Spain called Jorge Blas.
Oh yeah,
and he was, of course, and he was doing a deaf act and I fell in love with it. I'm a big fan of animals. So I was like, oh my God, I want to be like him. So then with time, I started buying more tricks. And I mean, at the same time, I was a dancer. So I started dancing when I was 6 years old. So obviously I was part of like the performance world. So I started putting an act together with my friend's help for my village. So I put an act of like an hour. So half of it, it'll be like illusion and the other one, it'll be with people. And it was just really fun, obviously, because I was enjoying it because my friends were helping me. And also at the same time in my school, he was a retired magician, which the teachers were like, oh my God, do you know Fan Fu? It was his name. So they introduced me to him and he basically gave me just some knowledge about it. And when he died, he gave me all his magic tricks, basically. He gave me his dad.
He was a teacher in your school?
Yeah, so he was a teacher in the school, but he was also a magician. So everyone knows him as a magician as well in the school. So yeah, when he died, he gave me everything. I was like, oh my God. And also because of that, he helped me out with, obviously, with more material. And after that, I went to like a competition in Spain of talent, like a talent competition of a really well-known in Spain. It's called Teresa Raval. But yes, I guess Spanish people will know that. But anyway.
I have no idea what you said, but it sounded really great.
Yeah, I mean, I got a finalist, so I was just really happy about it. And just because of it, it kind of encouraged me to do more and more and more. So I started doing shows around the village of my city until the one day I just decided to move to London. Mm. And from there.
And how long have you been in London?
I've been 10 years already. 10 years now, yeah. So long time.
That's awesome.
This is something I have to say. I didn't speak any English when I was in Spain. So it made it really difficult to learn more magic. So it was so difficult because obviously there is not magic in my city. There was not YouTube. There was not Instagram. There is nothing. So you just learn by what you're by or what you're heard. Because I was talking that to a friend of mine. I'm like, yeah, you have it really easy now. Yeah, you go to YouTube. Boom. You can learn anything you want. But by then, yeah, it was so difficult. That's why it took me, obviously, it was a big job for me to learn. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So
Now you, do you perform, when you perform, do you perform in English and Spanish?
I mainly perform in English.
Ah, wow, great.
Just because for me it's like a script. Like, yeah. I already know, I learn in English, so I do it in English. It's, obviously, I can do it in Spanish, but I have to obviously make my script and I kind of think about it. Because I'm more used to it in English than in Spanish.
Great.
Yeah.
You mentioned dance. So can you talk about specifically your dance background and experience and outside of magic too?
Yes. As I said, I started when I was 6 years old, training as a ballerina, ballet, like classic ballet. It's funny. I started just because when I was walking, one of my feet was coming inside. So my mom was like, "You going to ballet?" At the beginning. Yeah. At the beginning was hating it. Awesome. But then I started loving it. I think when I became 15, maybe, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to dance. So, again, a small city, to be a dancer, it's just really difficult. So one of my teachers in Spain is called the Danza Smile. It's called Smile Dance. She was encouraging me to go to Madrid, but I have to finish my studies in my high school. So I was like, okay, so as soon as I finish my studies, I go to a better school in Madrid to become professional. So I went to Madrid and I realized that I could live, like spending the same amount of money in Madrid that in London, but with better opportunities, and I could learn English and I could just have so much knowledge about it because I wanted to dance hip hop. Because in Madrid, they were introducing me to hip hop culture because a lot of choreographers from LA, from America were coming to Madrid to do workshops. And I was basically traveling around Spain to learn more about hip hop and the culture about it. So I was like, listen, I want to go to London. And I will never imagine myself going to London because I was the type of person that I'll be like, I don't need to speak English. I will never go outside of Spain. Look at me now.
Yeah, 10 years in London.
Oh my God.
That's great.
Yeah, I did know. That's amazing. I did not like have classes apart from high school in English. And I was failing English.
Wow.
I had to learn day by day, talking to people, feeling stupid, feeling really silly, like not understanding anything. And I was just learning by the same questions every day and kind of making it up.
So you just moved to London and went, I'll just learn English by talking to people.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so awesome.
I had a friend, but we were starting getting to know each other and she kind of took me under her wing and helped me out. So she was a big support when I was in London. She was Spanish. I mean, she's Spanish, sorry. But yeah, she obviously she helped me out. But I was by myself apart from that. All my family, obviously, in Spain. I was 19 by then. So I was just really blind by my passion. I wanted to dance. And that's all what I wanted to do. So like I had nothing to lose. So I was like, why not?
And so who have you danced for? And I kind of know this answer, but I want you to say because it's so cool.
So I danced for like Rihanna in the British Awards. Mm-hmm. I danced for Pharrell Williams.
So cool.
I know. When I said it to myself, I'm like, I want to dance for Rihanna and I will. And it happened. I was like, yeah, I was out of the moon when I danced for her. Like I spoke to her and everything, obviously on rehearsals. It's amazing. She's incredible. She's exactly how you see her in social media or like outside. She's exactly the same.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I dance for Jack Jones. You know Jack Jones?
I don't. Is
like,
that?
Ooh, don't like you know me, like you know me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's Ryan and Jack Jones.
Great.
Jack
I'm
Jones
sure every, DJ. Everybody that's listening just went, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know that one. Yeah, I did the tour with him in England and for the Time and Time Bowl. What else? For Pharrell Williams, for the British Awards as well.
Wow.
I did so much. I just don't remember now. I did a few adverts as well for Rimmel London. But I mixed, when I mixed a little bit of more magic. But they were asking for freestylers. To clarify, my main dance background is hip-hop, commercial, freestyle. I dance salsa as well, but that's for my own joint. Like, I enjoy that. And
yeah,
contemporary a little bit, yeah, a little bit of a free now, soul.
So yeah, I love it. You use freestyle and dance and movement with magic. So how did that start? How did you decide, you know, I'm here to be a dancer, but also I'm doing, I love magic. How did you start to combine the two? When did that happen?
So when I moved to London, I was mainly focusing on dancing and on my career and everything, like how do I look, how do I dance, all training like 5 hours a day, taking classes, learning everywhere, obviously it's doing my pictures, my portfolio, my showreel, blah, blah, blah. But then obviously magic, it was just, I was doing magic. I was working as a magician in Spain on summer. So I was just traveling to Spain in summer so I could earn some money as well. And obviously just keep learning. So when I start speaking more English, that's where I could obviously socialize more. So I could talk to people. And I was just showing sleight of hand, like tricks with coins, because that's my first trick ever I learned. That's what I could practice anywhere, really. So I start showing it in just little videos on Facebook, because before it was not Instagram. So dancers will see it and it's like, oh my God, that's so cool. So I was like, yeah, sick. It was just a little sleight of hand. And slowly I was just learning more magic and magic in on internet, obviously like through magic websites and things like that, and showing it to people. And by that, it just made me realize that people appreciate what I was doing. Because at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, this is so cheesy. So I just didn't want to show it as much. But when I was learning magic and performing it, it was natural for me to move. So it's not like I am going to add movement to my magic. It's not something that I decided to do. It just feel like it came kind of naturally. So it is normal. Like when you do a magic routine, you move, right? But me as a performer, I feel like it's more natural. So I was like, oh, let me just start freestyling and add a few moves, like a little vanish, you know, because you do a retention from one hand and you do a little wave and it appears in the other hand. So that's kind of really helped me out, the background as a dancer, to add it, I think, yeah.
That's, yeah, no, that's great. And so would you consider dance, like magicians should probably take dance classes, right?
I think everyone should.
Yeah.
It helps for your soul as well.
Yeah. I'd like to mention that when I was 12 years old, I did a dream bag and tap danced during the dream bag routine. And I'd like to consider myself as much of an expert in dance as you because of that moment.
That is sick. Like,
I'm just kidding. No, it was terrible. It was so bad, Sonia. I'll send you the video. It was an embarrassment. Yes, I also then pulled out like one of those giant straw things.
Oh,
like,
no. Why do you do that?
Because I was adorable. I was 12 and I was like, I can get away with this. I couldn't. It was so bad. And do you know what? I then started spinning it and I hit the ceiling and it broke and whatever. We're here to talk about you.
That's cute though.
It was so bad. It was terrible. Anyway, I used to think I was a good dancer. And then I watch videos now looking back and was like, why did anyone put me in heels?
I think everyone had that moment though.
Sure. Yeah.
You know. You just learn through life. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to start dancing and doing magic and then you and I can just make videos together. I just danced and no one could see it and I'm really embarrassed anyway. It's so terrible. But you prefer, moving on to the next question, you prefer to talk about dance and magic as more movement and magic. And why do you prefer that language over saying, I combine dance and magic, you say movement and magic. Why?
It's because dance is such a big field. And I don't want to be in the magic industry. When you say dance, I think in general, they might think to be like, she's a showgirl, maybe like cabaret style, whatever, which that's not me. Or anyone can think of anything about dance. Dance is just such a big field that it's like what it is, really. I'm more of a commercial dancer. I'm a hip-hop dancer. And I don't want to make it cheesy. I think you have to respect both of arts at the same time and complement each other. Just find a harmony between them. Because the same thing, I can't be dancing full out and then all of a sudden put out a coin or whatever it is. You lose the magical moment. That would be super cheesy, I hate that. I hate cheesiness. So that's what I'm trying to avoid. When you use different words, it changes the meaning of it. If it's a movement and what I'm trying to do is put my knowledge as a dancer into magic, so help visually to make it more elegant, to make it more harmonic, the whole magic. At the end of the day, as we mentioned before, when you do magic, it's a choreography, but you're not realizing at the end of the day, right? So it's just making yourself aware of your movement, you know? So it's against the, all the cheesiness.
Yeah.
There's no way. So that's why I think it's the best to call it movement, because also when I say movement, I don't restrict myself to just, I have to dance, because I don't want to be dancing all the time. It's just be clever about it. When I do my projects or something, it's not all about why all the time I have to dance. Maybe on the count of three, I want to do this magic movement. And then I just stare at the camera, for example, because it fits. I don't know, but it's all magicians do something for a reason, right? So why would you use a movement for a reason, like purposely? So I think as soon as you respect both of the industry, both of the arts, I think, yeah, you need to make it justice to both of them.
I see a lot of magicians that will try to combine, because they might dance and they do magic, and they try to combine the two, but it feels so separate. It feels like here's the part where I dance, and then here's the part where I do magic, or here's the part where I climb the silks, and then here's the part where I produce something, right? It just all feels so separate. I also see this too with, because mainly I combine magic with hints of comedy, not like a comedy magician, but I try to be funny. And
you
in
try
that,
to be you, which is, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly right. And just me naturally is a goofball, so it works. But with that, I see a lot of magicians, even with comedy, they'll do a joke, a little bit of like, you know, jokey, and then all the jokey goes away and they just do the trick. And so it's always very separate. Yeah. And so how do you really focus on making sure that, because I've never seen you perform live, but I've seen every video that you have online, mainly for research for this interview, but also I enjoy them.
Yeah.
And you combine them so seamlessly. It's almost like your movement is what sparks the magic. So it's all a movement lands into a production, and then another movement goes into a vanish. So how do you go about creating something like that so that it all moves like it's just all one thing?
That's interesting, because what I do for social media, I don't do it for social media. I do it so I can grow as an artist. So I can grow on my, like, as a magician, just be more creative and just find myself at some point, right? And just find more opportunities at the end of the day. But as well, I've been doing some stage magic, but it's not a stage, I'm close up. It's not like super stagey. Like, I have people super close to me. But at the end of the day, you have to be, you can't do coins on that. So I've done like the flying cane, the dancing cane, and I mix it with some production for canes as well. But I was like, wait a minute, don't make it cheesy. So I just think the way that I've done, I take it as a dancer in that sense. I started to choreograph a commercial routine of a song that I really liked, that is commercial. And then I find the stronger points to add the magic. And that's where the stillness comes. It's an example, when you dance, when you freestyle as a dancer, if you constantly hit in the beat, constantly go, people get bored. You're not creating a journey. You're not saying anything to it. So it's the same thing with magic. If you are constantly doing tricks, that's when, like, wait a minute, I'm fed up of you doing stuff. So as I said, it's creating that harmony. So what I do, basically, I start choreographing movements and steps. And then with the music, I imagine a magic effect. And if it doesn't work together, I try to make it work, to be like, oh, wait, I think I need to wait a little bit here more and use the song to lead to this effect. Again, dancing, it helps so much to the magic, because it gives you a reason why you're turning away or why you're doing this. Like, if you do illusionism, like card manipulation, the magician turning away to the profile, why are you doing that? So if you use dance, it just gives you a reason why you're turning to your profile to produce something, right? So so it just gives you more opportunities to to do more stuff because you're dancing with it. But again, it's such a thin line to mix them together, you know? Like, you just need to be so careful. And I suggest just trying and feel yourself and see it and just get different opinions that are not from magic.
Yeah, I think that's a massively powerful thing, is doing something outside of magic, right? Is mm-hmm. that, you know, for... Like, I'm not a dancer, so I'm not going to try to combine dance and magic again.
I'm such a bad comedian, bad. That's why I don't try to be funny. Sorry.
Listen, you help me with dance, I'll help you be funny. Deal?
Oh, my God. Okay, that's a good deal.
Deal. You can do it. It's fine. But, like, even if you don't dance, and I can think of a good 100 magicians right now that should not dance and do magic because it's just not what they can do. I'm one of them. So in that case, I think it's really smart that you, one, just like going back to what you just said, is one is validating what you're doing. Even if it's not through dance, you can learn because of dance, you can learn how to validate your movement for a steal, for, you know, turning your back to the audience if you must. And by taking a couple of dance classes, we can all learn more about how our bodies move, right? And even if you're not going to dance and do magic, at least you can learn better validated movement. But also what you said is do something outside of magic. You know, if you're going to do dance and magic, you should take dance classes. I say this a lot with comedy, is that if you're going to do comedy and magic, you should study comedy. You should get up and do comedy without props in your hands, which that to me was like the most massive change in my performance ability, was taking improv and sketch classes, is going, oh yeah, I can be funny without relying on magic. So I say that all the time, is if you're going to do magic, you should study acting, dance,
that's
comedy, whatever it
say,
is, right?
That you should study acting, because it's why every single actor, for example, they study movement. It's not called dance, it's called movement or improvisation, because you're going to be working with your body and you need to express yourself. So how are you going to express yourself? So that's why magic should be different, which is, I mean, it's fine if you want to do you, fair enough, but I am the one who believes that the more you know, the better, that is going to make you a better artist. It's just going to complement everything together. As far as you are clever and you know how to use it, that's fine. It doesn't mean you have to, if you do comedy, doesn't mean you have to all of a sudden be a comedy magician, for example. Or
right.
Or doesn't mean like, that's why, doesn't mean I have to dance all the time, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I believe you have to specialize yourself, but you should know a lot of stuff to complement yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned, you know, knowing yourself and knowing what works for you, as you have a very clear, at least from my perspective, you have a super clear brand of who you are and what you put forth online. And I want to talk to you a lot about your Instagram and online content, although knowing that you're not an Instagram magician, and I totally understand that. But your online content is so strong and clear because you have this super clear brand. And like, if you put out a video, I know basically what I'm getting, and it's great. You know, I'm excited to watch them because it's so clear. So how did you learn who you are, what your brand is, and how do you go about making that clear in your videos and performances?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I obviously, again, that didn't come just like, oh, I need to make a brand. You know, like, it just didn't come like that. But as I said, dance helped me to try to find myself a little bit. Because I'm not saying now you need to go and cut your hair and do whatever, you know? Like, it's not that. I think we all need to learn who we are. And I'm not saying I know myself completely, but I found a niche of myself. So dance helped me in the sense of knowing how I need to present myself, who I wanted to be. I get inspired by a lot of artists, like singers and musicians and fashion. And I'm like, I want to be like those people, you know? That's kind of the main thing. And then I do magic. And then let's do it, you know? So I think if you find who you are in the sense of like what is around you, what you do in your normal life, do you like sports? Are you funny? Are you social? Are you not? So kind of stopping yourself and trying to see what your hobbies are, who you are in that sense. And by doing that, I feel just gonna make things clear, and then slowly you will do things that are good for you, and you're not doing things just because of just making content for the sake of it, which is that we fail on that, everyone, and I do the same. I'm like, Sonia, don't do this just to put content on, you know, and I need to stop myself for that. what else? Like, yeah, it just really took me such a long process to do it. And I guess it's trying and trying new things. But again, for example, for me, I found I get inspired a lot by sport brands. And
right,
like that's what is at the moment, that's what I'm inspired for, like sport brands or how they advertise themselves, how they make it look. So I'm like, oh my god, imagine this in magic. I was like, okay, so let me think of everything. So in dance, when you shoot something, when you do a shooting, you think of everything. Okay, so your costume, what you're gonna wear, what you wanna say with what you're wearing. Your facials, how are you gonna achieve that? What are you gonna say with your camera? How are you gonna move? How you wanna make them feel to your audience? So it's a lot to think when I create something. It's not like I'm gonna do this magic trick and that's it. No, it's like what I'm gonna say to people with this, right? I mean, sometimes I can be just like, meh, I'm just gonna do it. You know, I like one song and I fit it to the music, you know, and that's it. But like the big projects, I really think it as the whole thing, the whole package. You know, I think that's the important thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but do you get inspired by tricks or do you get inspired by who people are?
Oh, for me, it's people, it's things around. I really, if you think about it, I really don't have a good knowledge of the tricks that exist in the world. I just go, this is a great idea.
But me neither. And I don't think everyone does.
Yeah.
I don't think unless you are 80 years old, right? But it's true because you just got so much time in your whole life and you could research it, right? So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, this I forgot to say. I think you need to leave first to find yourself, your own self. That's what, sorry, I forgot to mention. Like, it happened to me in dance. So I was so crazy on training. Oh my God, I need to get there. I need to dance professionally. I need to get there. And I was just so blind by this goal that I had to be there that I was just not living. I was not enjoying it. I was not being a person. I was just not hanging out. Like I was just 24/7 thinking of that. That really got me stuck. And I was like, I don't know who I am anymore. So yeah. I went to Ibiza. And I found myself.
That's a good place. Yeah, it's a good place to find yourself. I like it.
It's true. Like, I just went there. I mean, I went there because I had a job. Like someone offered me a job, a secure job in Pasha, and I was dancing. It was not the job of my life, but I was working as a dancer, and I was enjoying it, and I was able to be me, and people were accepting me because of me, not because who they wanted me to be. So it's so hard. I'm not saying that you're going to find yourself right away if you do this. I think it's a journey and everyone has their own journey, you know? Like, I learned that through the experience that just don't rush it and just do what makes you happy. Don't do it because of the gram. Because one day you'll be like, yeah, that's my branding. Like, you will find out because all the content that you've been creating is because it's what you enjoy. Not because it's just, oh, this is new. And everyone is doing it. Why not? I actually go against what everyone is doing. Because that's not new anymore.
Right.
So just if you want to do something that is new, take a classic and bring it new if you want to. A classic will never be old anymore anyway. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just important to find what you're like and just stick to it. Don't care about what the people say. It's easy to say it. But just try it. Just do content or do what you love because at least you're going to be happy about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
People come
to
me.
I think that's such a huge thing to say too is, and I was very similar to you recently where I was like magic, and then forgot that I also am a human. So yeah, I think that's really, really important. You talked also about your clothes, your costume, really thinking through what that looks like. Can you talk more about your personal decisions in terms of how your costume really – because I think your costuming, at least on the videos I've seen, that is so your brand and it's awesome. It's like if I just look at the screenshot of the video, I'm like, yep, there's Sonia. Yeah, got bam. It. It's, yeah, exactly. It's just so clear. Like how did you go about figuring out what that looks like for you and what's comfortable and how does that portray your brand?
That was my problem through years so much. You don't know how much. Like trying to find what looks good on me or not. Oh my God.
I get you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, and it's still, it's not a problem, but it's something that I'm still working on. It's because, oh my God, obviously about everyone has their own insecurities, right? Is again, right. This becomes from dance as well. To make sure you look good on auditions and you look unique and you look your own self. Oh my God, it's so difficult. It's difficult in dance because obviously there is so many of us, right? And I understand, for example, as a man magician, it's so hard as well to make yourself unique because there's so many of us.
And everybody wears a purple suit. Stop wearing purple suits.
Is it? Ah. I didn't know that. I mean, I wear a pretty cool tracksuit, but it's purple. It's a Nike one.
I mean, that's cool, though, because it's a tracksuit.
There you go. I mean, okay. Say, for example, in social media, I just try to make it look not the same all the time. So I just conscious of if I'm going to film something, I'm not going to do the same colors. I use my own clothes, obviously. I just pretty into fashion in the sense of, I don't know, I got to misguide it. It's really handy. And I think I look like a dancer, usually. So that is why. But I think now at the moment, if you want to know about fashion, you got it out there. Any website of like Topshop or Urban Outfitters or things like that, they already have an outfit done. They can look good on everyone. So I guess you just have to try it. Like, if you think it's you or not. And that's okay. If you are not someone who is into fashion, that is completely okay. You know, like why not? Like, for example, that is me. But if it would have been me, I'm like, listen, I'll try something else that makes me unique. You know? So, for example, in the Nike project I did, I wanted to make it look like an advert. I wanted to make it look like you see on TV. So the first of all, I'm like, okay, so I need to invest in this. So I went a little bit crazy on that. So I just went and I found a unisex tracksuit that I really like. I love yellow, the color yellow. And it's a bit of a stigma in a stage, right, to wear yellow. So I'm like, why not just do an opposite thing, right? I'm like, you know what? Like, sometimes you have to own it. And like that, you will pull it out. If you're going to wear something that you're not comfortable with, don't do it because you're not going to own it and it's going to look like shit. So
right.
I was like, I'm going to go for it. And that's it. Own it. Why not? So I make sure I had the outfit. And again, because I was into a sport brand, I was like, I'm going to use it with a sport bra and socks that I'd never seen it before, at least. And I wanted to look at quite like a neon vibe. So I hired the lights. I had no idea how to use them. I had to learn how to use them. We hired a gimbal with my girlfriend. She didn't know how to use a gimbal. So we figured out everything. So we spent 12 hours of filming for like 30 seconds.
Wow. 12 hours.
12 hours, yeah. Because we have no one else. It's just only us. It's only me and her. And also, I don't want anyone else because she has such a good view of what I visualize that is easy to work with. Because I usually film everything by myself, but now she knows exactly who I am. That I am like, I want to look like this. And she's like, cool. And she knows.
Awesome.
Which
That's so great.
That is amazing, right? It's really difficult to find someone like that. It's handy, your girlfriend, easy.
That's awesome.
But it's just, I had the trick already. So like I created it. So I was like, okay, let me put it into like a sport brand. And then that's when it kind of went all along. Because I do the spinning on my phone. I was like, let me do it with a sneaker. Why not? It kind of matches. I do my nails with it. Because again, everything's about the detail. You're going to go with a camera, but you're going to see my fingers. Why not? They're going to be silver and they're going to have a Nike in there. So just having...
Ah, cool.
Yeah, just having those little details. Like, you won't realize I've done it. But when you watch it, that's what it makes you like it, I guess. But again, it's a matter of trying and trying. And trying and get it wrong. It's okay to get it wrong. So,
Yeah, costuming is one of the hardest things, I think, as a performer. It's like, how do you get who you are across? Because the first thing people see is what you look like, right? And they judge you immediately. Exactly. The audience is going to go, I like that person or I don't like that person exactly. within 5 seconds. So that costume is so valuable and it immediately mm-hmm. gets your brand across.
Mm-hmm. Like when I perform Close Up Magic, I perform all white on purpose.
Oh, cool. And why is that?
Because I don't want them to confuse me with a waitress.
That's brilliant.
No, I'm taking the
That's
piece.
Brilliant.
I'm taking, no. But like, I don't want to wear a dress because I'm not a dressy girl. I can wear dresses, don't get me wrong, and I will like kill it on a dress, but my old vibe, you know, just my old yeah. vibe. I'm not, yeah, I won't be with a long dress just because I'm a girl and I have to go a little bit more corporate. So if I have to go more corporate, I use a blazer, but I like the style of really baggy blazers and really baggy clothes, but we make it with maybe like a cool bra, you know?
Mm.
So just to make it fashionable, but respecting yourself as well.
Yeah.
You know, that is difficult as a woman in this industry and in this world, sorry, in general, in this world.
Sure, like, yeah.
Like, again, and if I want to, the reason why, like, I go all white, it stands out for everyone. You know, I don't need to wear a dress because I will struggle with the pockets. And I wear jeans with like a broken on my knee. So that gives it a little bit more quirky style. So it's a little bit more me.
Mm, yeah. The all white's brilliant because like I usually go blue, mm-hmm. like all blue. And so, sometimes I see other people at the party wearing all blue. And so you go, ah, okay, so I blend in a little bit. So the all white is like, boom, you walk into a room, we know who you are.
Unless you go for a wedding, that will change it.
This is a very good point.
I will have a black one, obviously. I don't mind to don't stand out in that sense, you know, because I'm not the focus of attention anyway.
That's great. What about kind of sticking with the concept of costume and brand and everything is the idea of a lot of women, I'm going to specifically talk about magic. I realize this is across the board, but within magic, really go for the sexy route. And maybe the sexy element masks not being able to do a lot of good magic, or maybe the sexy element is more about wearing less clothing, but clearly, like, they don't feel comfortable in that. Would you brand yourself as someone that's sexy, quote unquote? And then how do you go about doing that so that it's not annoying? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yeah, I get you. I get you. I'm not against it because you do you, you know?
Mm.
But I think you need to be careful with that. Again, if we face it too magic in the sense, oof, it's... I'm not saying you need to go masculine. I'm not saying you need to go unisex. Beat you and respect yourself, first of all. But in dance, we always talk about being sensual or not. You don't need to be undressed or show more of yourself to feel yourself sexy. I feel you're a woman already. You should find out your own sensuality. And by this, I mean your own self, the way you talk, the way you present yourself. Intelligence is more central than anything else. People will judge you in the sense, fuck them, though. And I think as a woman needs to respect others as well. Because if we gossip about them or we're like, oh, look at her, why she's wearing this? We're doing the same thing as everyone else's, you know? It's difficult to don't do it. But I guess if you respect yourself, if you're showing yourself differently, that is going to help to don't be judged that way. I personally think to wear whatever you feel comfortable with and don't feel like you have to wear heels because you're a woman. I think that's the most important thing. Like, I personally want to inspire people just by being me.
Well, there's also a difference between sexy and confident. And confident can be sexy.
Exactly.
As opposed to selling sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we talk about a lot on here, is that there's nothing wrong with being sexy or...
Yeah.
As long as you're confident and comfortable and you, that's what matters. And I remember when I first started doing magic on a professional level, I asked a friend who's been in this industry for a very long time, who has always gone for the more sexy route, you know, selling sex specifically. And I said, do I need to do that? Because that's not me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily she said, no, she said if she could go back and do it again, she would make a different choice. But now this is her brand and she is going to keep going with it. And I'm so thankful for her saying that, because or else I would have been trying to figure out how to do this in this way. And I probably would have quit because I didn't know what else I could do. So it's really important that we establish that confidence is sexy. And as long as you're comfortable in who you are, boom, you've got it.
And I think it's really powerful to maintain yourself as you are and not trying to do what the rest of the world wants you to do, in the sense of like, you are a girl, just start wearing something sexy and heels, you know, like just a typical image of a female magician that I think the world has. Right?
Right.
But if you are yourself, imagine there'll be more people want to be like you. And everyone will try to be themselves. And people will feel relatable to you. For me, I feel really inspired by artists that are really unique on their field. And that they already there, like they got into a good place just by being themselves. Right?
That's great. So I'm transition. That was my transition into a different topic. What?
Sorry, I love that.
Thank
transition.
You. Just straight up. Thank you. I'm going to take your voice saying transition and use it in every podcast episode after this. It's perfect. So I really love, and I realize you're not an Instagram or online magician, but I love watching your Instagram videos, as I've mentioned a million times already. How do you go about, so you mentioned the Adidas video and the Nike. How do you go about creating a video like this and then really making sure, you talked about all the details in the video and, you know, painting your nails with the Nike swoosh and all that. How do you go about making, like, I love the lemon t-shirt very much. How do you go about creating that kind of content? I know a lot of magicians are like, I need to create content. But also, I think what you've already mentioned is that you don't try to crank out content. It's not about putting something out every day and then suffering quality. So how do you go about really focusing on good quality content that creates your brand and all of that?
I think it sucks to sometimes to be really original constantly. And this is a really good point. I think as an artist, no one is constantly creating good content constantly, right? Like, it is not everyday good content. Do you think, let's take Beyonce. Beyonce, she creates an album, she does a tour, blah, blah, blah. She explodes that product, and then she goes away. And you don't hear anything about Beyonce until a while ago after, right? Because she's been working and she's been doing her thing. We should do the same thing. Why are you creating content constantly, right? So for this time of that, a strange time that we are at the moment, it kind of helped me out to put the content that I should have put it a while before. Because of the Nike, that effect that I came up with, I was like, it came with an idea to make it, because I wanted to do like a routine with a lemon. But again, I wanted to produce a lemon from out of nowhere and that I don't have to carry on with that stuff. So I'm like, wait a minute, if I wear it, I can just do it. So why not create a t-shirt that I have with a lemon and do it? So I created the whole t-shirt with the lemon. It was a hard one, but then it worked. So the video that you see on the social media with the lemon, it was so hard because there's movement in it. Yes. It was super hard. And I'm not going to lie, it took me so much time to get it right. But it worked. So I'm super happy about it. The Adidas one, I had it before, but I had a different method. So everything kind of, because of the Nike, I did with the sock. So one day I was shopping in Adidas and I saw that sock and I'm like, oh my God, I want that one. Not being able to have it. So I was like, why not? I'm doing this. So I created it. I created the method. It took me so long to create the good one, the good method to do it. And I was just like, if I post it now in the virus thing, it works perfectly because it's relatable to people. You want to buy something that you can't because obviously you don't have a job. So why not using magic for it, right? And obviously everyone has a phone. So if you use the phone, it's visually from behind me. So I had to think, okay, so I'm going to the sofa. I do this shot here, this shot here, this shot here. So just thinking as a director.
And you've done some commercials as well, right? With the makeup brand and the... Did you do Samsung as well for the phone?
Yeah, I worked like 4 times with Samsung. Nice. I did Rimmel London. The Rimmel London, it was so cool because I did it with Cara Delevingne. Yeah, she was so cool as well.
That's
but
awesome.
That was an audition. It was like 400 people auditioning.
Wow.
And you have to freestyle with a mascara. So again, one of my good things that I love is sleight of hand. And because I do magic with everything, because I believe magic is everywhere. It should be magic everywhere, right? Like you get something and it could, you can do magic with anything, just not with cards. So I just had some sleight of hand with a mascara and I freestyle everything in the audition. And the director loved it. The director, like, I really respect him. He's called Emil Nava. I don't know if you know him. He has produced for Khalid. You know Khalid, the singer?
Cool.
So he got such a, like, a cool view. He wanted to use dancers for it. So I was one of the main ones with Cara Delevingne doing all the manipulation, playing around with her. We were teaching her, like, tatting fingers. Tatting, as well, complements with a sleight of hand. And, again, a movement. So that was the Rimmel London, the Samsung. Again, I was more like a creative director working with the director and as a talent to make happen the storyboard that they had. So they had an idea. So it's like, how would you do this? So like, okay, so you can do this, blah, blah, blah. And I was working with them with movement as well, like trying to choreograph the movement, even if it was by takes, you know. It's really interesting and it makes you learn a lot working with them. That this is something that I want to say that magicians struggle. I think it's a good way to, like, you when you work with someone like that, you need to give them as much options. You can't stick to what you think. They want the product to come out no matter what. So, like, work with them. Not is everything what you believe in is not the right thing. It might be right, but that's not what they might be looking for. So just work with them. You're not the center of attention and there, like you will be performing, right? So that is a really good tip. If you want to do things like in advertising or with, I mean, from my own experience, I might be wrong, but it helped me. So yeah, like I did the Samsung, I did the Nespresso as well. What else? I did a job for Delfina de Letret, which is super expensive jewelry. She's Italian.
Ah, cool.
But it didn't come out. I'm just praying and hoping she pulls it out because I want that footage because it's so good.
Yeah.
But if not, I will make it myself with other jewelry.
Great. Yeah, that's smart. Very smart.
Yeah. What else? I did for Maryland Cookies. And then just the last one, this was really funny. Just a double hands of a little kid with a battery. So they had someone, because the little kid didn't know how to roll a battery between the fingers. So they just got me rolling a battery around my fingers and doing like this. So they just cut my hand and put it into his. And if you see it, it goes a little bit bigger, but I mean, you can't notice it if you don't know. So yeah.
That's so cool. That's awesome. And then didn't you do, because you made the Adidas videos on mm-hmm. your own. Mm-hmm. And did that get you some work with Adidas?
I'm waiting on it.
Got it. Cool.
No, I'm waiting. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. That's the thing. Mm. I don't think I have mass exposure as other people. For example, I don't have as many followers as I wish I can have. So I don't think that video is going to get seen as much, which is okay. I don't mind. Like, if I would mind, I will get crazy, you know, because I'll be desperate for followers, which I think that will kill the vibe. And I don't want to get bitter because of that. It's like the same thing. If you don't get jobs, you get bitter now. No, just do it because you love it. Obviously, it's really difficult for Adidas to get seen. And I think it's more about products. Like, magic is not relatable to people because it's magic. Not everyone can do magic, right?
Right.
So you, as a brand, as a sport brand, I think you need to be a bit more relatable. Mm. But I don't know. I think it depends on the marketing if they want to get it or not. Or I don't know. And also, it's just not about what you do. If I'm the right looking, if they want me, if they want a girl doing it or if not, you know, so it's a lot that comes with it. It's just not. But for me, it's as well to have a name in the industry and to see that people appreciate my work. And that's kind of the most important part. Because then if someone hires me for something, I can show them stuff. I can be like, look, this is my job, you know. I did get a job for Nike, having that.
Nike. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But it was an internal fashion show for them. So it was like,
so cool.
I did it last year. So it was for the 2020 spring collection. So now. So I had to dance. That's when I had to mix dance and magic together. So cool. What I did is I didn't do the bra, but I spinned the sneaker. And so great. I was dancing with them, and all of a sudden I got the sneaker and spin it and keep dancing with it. And then I just continue dancing. But again, it's just one effect. It's like you use magic, like a visual effect, like you use fire on a show. That's what it is. And it worked well in there because you were doing a fashion show for Nike. Like you, the product was the sneaker, you know, the trainer. It was nothing else. It really worked. So I was super happy. And yeah, they wanted me for that reason. So like, cool, she's a dancer, hip hop dancer, and she does this. Perfect.
That's great. That's awesome. What is femme?
Femme. I mean, it's my new effect. It's funny. I call it femme just because I wanted to call it femme.
It's great.
I just didn't want to be obvious to see car production from a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I don't like... I don't like obvious things, you know? Just make it more interesting. Sure. And it's femme because I'm a girl, okay? And I wanted to look like a movie. It sounds like a movie. It sounds like you don't know what it is, right? So it's basically my new effect that the reason why it came along is because, again, all my work with Adidas, Nike, all these effects with the lemon, I wanted to do in person. And is something that you can wear every time. And then if you have a deck of cards, you can do it. You're like, oh my God, you pull it out of the t-shirt. So yeah. It's, for us, it's known as a magician's, but if someone else has seen that t-shirt, they might not know it's magic.
Yeah, it's just a cool looking t-shirt.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to sell, that you can wear it either if you're a magician or not. When I put out my other t-shirt, the white one, I wanted to sell it because I want anyone who likes what I do to have something from me. And not necessary to have a deck of cards because I'm a magician. You know? Obviously, the white one, it has magician, London, but it's just only the spell of it. So it's not as obvious. Again, it's just subtle and it looks cool. From my view, I think it looks cool. My people may be like, no, it's not cool. It's oversized t-shirts, both of them. The femme one is the magic one. The other one is not magical. It's not magic. And yeah, people have told me if I want to do different designs. I don't think I will do different designs at the moment because it's just more complicated for myself. And it's my brand. If you're going to wear my t-shirt, that's going to be me in there. So it's cool. I think that's a really good way. And yeah, I got a really good feedback. So I'm really excited for it. I'm just waiting to perform it to people, which we cannot do now.
Yeah, sure.
That's
why. Yep. Man. That's great. You can perform this one. This isn't like a necessary 12-hour shoot. You can do this for real people.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. Like, I love, I mean, I'm excited to try it to new people because I've tried it to, obviously, for FaceTime. And you can do it. I mean, I will say later on whenever you. I want to pull it out to the people, to the audience. I just don't have a date yet. Like, obviously, these are strange times, you know, and I just don't want to do it now, which I can't have it. But I just want to see how people react. And if people likes it, I will bring it out. If not, I will keep it for myself. But yeah.
That's great.
Really excited for it.
I want it.
I'll send you one, of course.
Yes. I love it. It's so cool. Amazing. Sick. Okay, so we're basically at the end, and we end all of our interviews with a very silly and fun lightning round of questions. So I've written a couple. I tried not to tell you what the questions were because I make them up as you're talking.
Okay.
So here's how the lightning round works. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. You can answer as short, like a one-word answer, as short as you want, or if you want to pull the Max Maven, you can answer 2 hours per question. So whichever you would prefer, it's up to you.
Okay.
You think that's a joke, but if you listen to the Max Maven interview, they're long.
Oh my God.
We love him very much. He is the most wonderful human being. And yes, very long. No, okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite magic book?
Oh my God. I hate you for this. Okay. Because I don't like to read. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't like reading either. You could also answer this as what's your favorite?
That from Fanta Marie's, the rainbow one.
Ah, great.
I'm bad with names again, but
I know which one you're talking about. And then everybody will comment on this podcast and tell us what the title is, because okay. I don't remember either. But I know what you're talking about.
Sorry, guys, forgive me.
It's totally fine. We'll be fine. Okay, then what's also your favorite magic resource?
Websites in general. And the Magic Cafe.
Magic Cafe?
Yeah, the forum.
Cool.
That helps a lot.
Ah, great. Great, great, great. I think you might be the only person in the world that likes it.
Is it? That's there's great. So many people that's in awesome. There. I think it's really cool because it's the fastest thing, because otherwise I will have to go to every single website. Mm. Just so, because in the Magic Cafe, there is people who, I don't know, there's so many people. So it's such a big job anyway. I mean, I ask many friends anyway, just in case, if I want to do it quicker. But in Magic Cafe, I'm like, ooh, that's a good idea. And I just stop searching. So if I go to the website, whatever, and then I just try to find it.
That's great. What's your biggest inspiration right now out of magic specifically? So instead of saying like dance, to say a specific dancer or video that you like to watch, what's something specific that really inspires you?
Nowness. You know
who?
You know what is nowness is?
No.
I spell it for you later on and you can put it on.
Okay.
But it's a website where it's like independent videos of like fashionable videos.
Oh.
Where a lot of artists put on stuff. And it's quite like, yeah, independent, you know, like quite quirky. But it is really artistic.
How do you spell that website?
nowness.com.
Amazing. We'll link to it in the episode description. That sounds really cool. Awesome. What's the number one thing magicians should study that's outside of magic?
Acting.
I agree.
Acting and movement. If I don't say movement, I will lie to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Outside of dance and magic, what else do you enjoy doing? Like, what's a hobby?
Oh my God, I'm such a geeky. I'm like so into magic. I draw, so I like drawing.
Ah,
like I draw cool. a lot just with a pen. I like spin, like I like sports. I do aerials as well. Mm. So I do silk work. I don't do hoop because I'm a mess. yeah. I do everything. I love music. So
look. Cool. Oh, that's awesome. So we're all obviously all in quarantine. What's been your favorite way to pass the time while in quarantine?
Nintendo Switch.
Ah, what games?
Rayman. Like, I love to play with my girlfriend because it's fun. If you play by yourself, it's meh, it's boring. But Rayman and Overcooked is super cool and stressful. So it's good.
Super cool and stressful. That's good. Cool. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a woman, either in magic or out of magic, that you would say you should go follow her and her work?
I've got loads. Can I say them all?
It depends on how many, but yes, just go ahead.
I'm gonna be really quick. Obviously, Laura London, she's a good friend of mine. Paloma, she's from Spain. She studies the double lift, and she got a book.
Ah,
so I think you guys follow her. Like, she's really cool, and her stuff is amazing. If you like car magic, she's amazing for it. So her name is Paloma Bravo, from Spain, from Malaga.
Great.
And in Instagram, it's called Dama de Picas, so it's Queen of Spades. So she has a book of the double lift. It's really good. And she has a really great view of how to teach, in the sense of, in her book, you have QR codes with the performance, with the moves. So you can see already how would it look. So I think that is so clever. That is so cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So you don't have to imagine it, how it looks. And
that's
amazing. Yeah, she's always up for like helping each other, like if you have any questions or whatever. So yeah, they should follow her because she's really cool.
Wow.
I mean,
great. Thank you.
Yeah, Josephine, she's a really good illusionist. Catherine Mills, amazing mentalist as well. I know more people from London, though.
Sure.
Obviously, Ikat, Canada, right? Billy Keith, I work with her as well. She's really cool. That's kind of the ones that come to my mind now, but there's so many of them. You as well.
That's great.
Obviously.
Thank you very much.
Of course. You are the comedian thank one, for, so.
Thank you for mentioning my name on my own podcast. This is wonderful.
Of course.
Thank you. Okay. And then last question. If you could only eat one dessert for the rest of your life, what would it be? This is important and it will tell me everything that I need to know about you.
Creme brulee.
Wow. Any particular like kind of flavor of creme brulee?
Oh, like we would say crema catalana. So the Spanish one. So it's a creme brulee. Cool. So it's toasty. It's vanilla one. I don't know if there's any other flavors.
I don't know. I watched the Great British Baking Show and they made like pomegranate creme brulee. So I don't,
Ew, I don't know. I'm a basic bitch with this. Sorry. I like classic stuff, you know? I'm like, now, creme brulee is perfect how it is.
It's great.
With that toasty in the middle, you need to just like break it.
Crack, crack, crack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's so cool. It needs to be a good one though. But yeah.
Yeah, bad creme brulee is disgusting. I used to work at a restaurant, like I was a bartender, and if anybody ever ordered a dessert, we would basically have to prepare it, so take it out of the fridge and do something. And I always tried to push the creme brulees because I got to pour the sugar on and then light it on fire. And so it was just really fun to like be in the back of the kitchen with a torch.
That is so cool.
Like, yeah.
I used to be a bartender too, but I used to use that for just like for garnish. With that, that grill thing.
Yep.
It's so cool.
Same. I love it. It's so great. Oh my gosh, Sonia, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. This is amazing. You are great.
Thank you. Like, for wanting me to be here. So cool.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye.
Shazam is sponsored in part by the Society of American Magicians. Thank you, SAM. Go join a club.